to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy podcast program. Get inspired. Break through to new dimensions with your peers on the entrepreneurial journey of self-discovery, leadership revolution, and life success. Learn something new from our mentoring conversation today.
There are several things that I hadn't thought of before until Nancy asked me two or three questions. And one threw me completely, which was about how my parents treated me and what impact that may have had on the way I brought up my kids. And that is something I hadn't really thought of. So there was some thought here that I was not anticipating, but I'm glad it happened.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. Thanks for tuning in. We're going to have a great conversation for you today. Today's sponsor owns Ideal Property Investments. Kelly Johansson could be your property investment guru. She can work with you to locate, secure, and cash flow your very own rental property. Whether this is your first property or you are a seasoned investor, connect with Kelly to be your property manager. You can reach her at idealpropertiesmn.com, and you can reach her by calling 1-612-290-6107. All right, Kelly, thanks for sponsoring today's We Mentor Mondays with Nancy. I'm Nancy, and for business and life mentoring, I empower business owners to overcome challenges, clarify their vision, grow a sustainable and profitable business by looking inward to integrate what's happening outside themselves and to lead through bravery and creativity. Because when we mentor, you design an interdependent and profitable future. As an entrepreneurial leader slash innovator, as a competent business owner slash practitioner, as a conscious intuitive leader and mentor slash role model, and as a human being and master of self, I'm invested in a mentoring process for you to take charge of your leadership in a unique way. Self-leadership is the way to catapult yourself into a new dimension of leadership and business ownership. I'm welcoming back the Wallner family. Hey.
Hey, Nancy.
Hi, Ellen.
Nancy.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Hi, Alex.
Hi.
And we have an addition to our group. So in talking with the Wallners, you've heard in past episodes of them mentioning their therapist, John Patching, from the United Kingdom, and he happens to be in the studio. Hey, John.
Hello, everybody.
So John is, he's a life coach, mentor, meditation tutor, hypnotherapist, and psychotherapist. He enables others to discover their personal potential and life journey through the tantric value of his life and understanding. And John, you've been working with the Wallners for how long?
Well, I've been working with them individually at different times. So I've been working with Alan for coming up for 2 years. I've been working with Rosie for just about 1 year. And I've been working on and off with Alex throughout that 2 year period.
Great. Thank you. The reason that the Wallners decided to bring this series together with me is because Alan wanted to open his heart and share the message that there's more to you than kind of meets the eye. Is that right, Alan?
That is true, yes. There's definitely more to you than meets the eye.
That this isn't about gender, sex, or role, because when Alex, A-L-E-X, was in his senior year, he came out as transgender to the family. So during Alexandria's, the middle child of Alan and Rosie's three kids, and Alexandria came out to her parents to express her true self in her senior year, and that launched the whole family into a deeper journey that we have named Alex's Hero's Journey. What do you think?
It's kind of cool. I never really was considered myself a hero, but awesome.
Great. And Every person, Alan says, is a gift, and we're all on a journey. And Rosie's purpose for sharing their family story, because they're a very private family, that everyone has a journey and all people need acceptance. She's encouraging people to be open-minded and receptive, because as a couple, as a parent, and as a human being, we all are on our own journeys.
Yes, that really sums it up.
And Alex, this journey for you has been, actually, you're the heroine in the journey. Yeah, that's more accurate. To love yourself and others. And this has been your journey to look for power within yourself. And hopefully, the reason that you're behind the mic and being so courageous about this is to inspire others to become a stronger them.
That's the idea.
Excellent. Great. So John is here because we asked him to be here. And so we are having our last conversation. We're kind of pulling some of the other pieces together of the journey, kind of what they might be remembering as they go forward, where they're at today, and also what they're envisioning for themselves going forward, what they're looking forward to, and also some of the things that they would like to learn next. So let's start by checking in with ourselves emotionally. Who would like to start? Okay, all hands up.
I guess I'll jump in. I feel pretty grounded, you know, so everything's quite nice in that respect, but I'm also feeling like I'm at a stage where I'm really trusting in a higher power and surrendering and just kind of allowing things to happen. Through all this, I learned there's just a lot of things that aren't in my control. So it's just really taking each step every day. And so even coming here and getting ready to talk about things, I just, you know, you set the tone, you know. So
yeah.
I feel joyful. I feel loved. I'm happy. I could have come here with a completely different attitude if I wanted to, but why not control it and make it what I want it to be?
Yeah, excellent. How has your definition of power and control shifted through this process?
Oh, that's a good question. I guess control is at times something that doesn't always lead to, got to figure out the right way to term this, but it's not always necessarily a positive outcome when you're trying to control something, because it's very restricting. Sometimes control is good.
Where do you try to gain control? Or where did you used to gain it, and where do you gain it now?
So, yeah, I think used to try, and that's a key word, try. Because if you try, John's laughing because that's kind of, it's okay to laugh.
How many times have I told you, Alan, to stop trying?
Right, exactly. Because when you try, you just get in this cycle that you just can't get out. So, you know, your words are very important. And in terms of control, that is one of the things that I can be in control of, is myself and the words that I use. And I can be in control of myself. I determine how I feel, not someone else. So it's, I guess the control is you're in control of yourself and how you're feeling and how you're expressing yourself. But there may be a lot of things around you that you can't control. And that's the big thing I've learned, is let that stuff be. Mm-hmm. It's going to be what it's going to be.
Yeah.
But I can determine how I feel and what I bring to the table in this situation.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as power, I see that as, that's kind of the, I guess it's power versus force.
Power shared.
Yeah, and I think power can be a good thing. You know, it's I guess to some degree it's a bit of an energetic resonance that you can bring to the table. And so that power can either be a positive or a negative. So why not make it a positive? So bring good power, good energy to the situation.
Yeah, right. And in many businesses, what we're the transition of how we exert power over people or control is shifting. So as people go more within and they're starting to do more and more of their internal work, then instead of trying to have power and control over others, it's actually a different avenue in. They're trying to share power.
Yeah, just, you know, a more, I guess, heartfelt or... accepting, you know, that I guess, diminishes the controlling or at least brings it to an even place because you're accepting people for who they are, not trying to control them.
Yeah, and a lot of times when we address what the feelings are, then there isn't this competitive, like, who's going to win in this, you know?
Who's
and then the ante
the
keeps yeah. going up. Yeah, we can all find ourselves in those situations when we're triggered, right? And we are something in the unconscious is becoming more conscious. We're just really feeling a sense of being out of control. And so the feelings aren't, when we're triggered, aren't necessarily a bad thing. It's just what we do with them, like you're talking about. And sometimes we don't feel like we can control them when you're triggered. And so that's when you want to add in the next step, which is take a step back and then reapproach it from a different position. But I think John probably has something to say about this.
Are we ever in control? Control is an illusion.
Okay.
You need
say more.
To go with the flow, to realize yourself, to realize the world around you, to have clarity of your feelings, of your perceptions, and an awareness of how that interlinks with other people. If you're trying too hard, if you're grasping at something that is an illusion, which is control, you're not in that moment. You're not present. You haven't got the clarity of the awareness that's happening to you and others.
Mm-hmm.
You're grasping for something that isn't there.
Yeah. And that's why it's so important to be doing mindfulness. Because it's helping us bring us totally right in the moment when we don't want to be in there, especially if we're triggered.
Sure.
You know, you just feel like, I just want to blow. But, you know, no.
And you can't force life.
No.
You try forcing something to happen, and that's when it's not going to happen.
Yeah. Do you ever do that?
Of course, everybody does that. That's part of human life. But it's actually understanding that to release that and to get into that energy flow.
I just feel better knowing that.
You can tell the talk, but you got to walk it as well, haven't you?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's a good walk, too. Good. Okay. Is there anything else you'd like to share, Alan?
No, I think that's a good way to kind of kick off how I'm feeling here today.
Yeah, that's awesome. And power and control is a really big conversation as we're all shifting and we're feeling a lot of power over us right now. And all these different manipulations going on around us, not knowing what's going to happen with our world is kind of scary. So it's a good conversation to have and to know that it always comes back to where we're at and what we need to do.
Yeah, and I think that goes along with the other piece that I had mentioned is you have to trust in that higher power and just surrender to that. And yes, you could worry about all these things, but at some point you just got to know it's going to be okay.
Yeah, exactly. Very good. Thank you for sharing that. I appreciate it. All right, Rosie?
I am feeling very generous in spirit as I always do when I come here these past podcasts.
Weeks and months.
I think as I listen to it and start to have my family and friends listen to it, I'm very grateful that that it can come across that, you know, that acceptance is very important, no matter, you know, with transgender or your family. And I think that's come across.
Yeah, when you're out in the world, you want to be accepted and received by people. Mm-hmm. Is that what you're saying?
Yes,
and you
correct.
Have been with putting that was the big risk that you took as a family of putting your story out there in a larger way. And mm-hmm. so when you're introducing yourself into sharing it with other people that you know,
right.
you're saying that they've been very accepting.
Exactly. And sometimes it's been easier just to talk in the mic And now we're starting to have, you know, people we know hearing this. And again, it's just nice that they're being accepting and of what we have to say too.
Yeah. And you won't have to keep repeating it.
Yeah, I've noticed it opens the door to people, you know, wanting to have a different level of a conversation with you. Mm. And it's pretty personal. And there's like, is it okay if I ask? You know, well, sure, that's okay. I mean, that's why we're doing this. We want to help people learn more and be more understanding. And
yeah,
that's been the nice part of this is I feel that we can help people kind of come to terms or accept that there's this whole other aspect of people's lives out there.
Yeah. And you've invited them into the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
Anything else that you'd like to share about how you're feeling?
I think that was the main thing.
We'll keep the main thing.
The main thing.
That's right. All right, Alex.
I'm feeling really good. Happy and, you know, I'm feeling really connected. It's kind of as a way where I've grown a little bit more and closer with my family and stuff like that. I'm also really exhausted as it's finals week right now. So I'm a little out of it. I'm a little tired. But other than that, you know, I'm good to be here. You know, I've heard a lot of, you know, people that a lot of my friends who, you know, are also trans have listened to this podcast and it's, you know, getting their feedback and kind of being like, oh, that's, you know, that's super cool that you're doing this and, you know, just listening and getting that kind of like that it is reaching and touching people, you know, makes me feel really happy.
Oh,
kind of connected. So
great.
Yeah.
Does it validate more of your journey?
I guess, you know, I don't really need other people to validate my journey. I guess it just was more of like happy that it is doing what we want it to do. And that then, you know, people are okay, you know, like, oh, you know, this is normal and kind of stuff like that. And that's really nice to hear.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. I'm glad. Yeah. That is really cool. Because we've had, the podcast has been out there for a while. So it's nice to kind of get the stories back. Any feedback that I've gotten has been all, wow, love that you're talking about having these deeper conversations with people and that they are sharing their journey because most people haven't heard of the journey that's kind of described from each of your different perspectives. Mm-hmm. So that's the feedback that I've gotten. So it's been all positive. Yeah, all the way around. No hate mail.
Yeah, we haven't gotten any either. So.
Yeah, that's cool. Very good.
I think one thing I'd like listeners to know is that, you know, we found resources. When we had a question, we happened to be introduced to John through mutual acquaintance. And I would just encourage people, if they're looking for answers or looking to talk to people, to let people know that they are, and you'll never know what, you know, who will come to you then. I mean, the internet's fine, but also talking with people that you know.
And you've got Meet the Wallners website.
Yes.
And you're going to be building out further resources, so people will always have that.
That's correct, yes.
As a resource, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We're going to try and use that to further the conversation and let people know they're not alone or that there are places to go to.
Yeah, so. And there's a lot more resources than you. When you went on your search, you realized over the last year or so that there's a lot more resources than when you started your journey.
Yes, exactly.
I've noticed that it has kind of come out of the woodwork almost as more and more people are feeling comfortable in pursuing themselves, that like there's a lot more resources that it's been easier to acquire. It may seem hard, but once you find like one or two, you'll get led and it's pretty easy to get the help you need out there now.
Yeah, exactly. So when we started our conversation, we kind of set it up and we talked about the different elements of grief. And in our second conversation, Alexandria shared kind of the theme of her journey and how she found her way step by step, the power within and the identity within. Mm-hmm. And then we had in the third conversation, Alan's journey to acceptance. I mean, you guys had so many different ways in which you bonded together, you know, with bike, dirt bike riding, and just you spend a lot of time bonding together, and you've really had to think through and be creative in how you guys are spending time together and staying connected.
Right. And, you know, Alex was just at that age where, you know, you want, as a father, you want to spend a lot of time with your son, you know, and teach them things you know and show them how to do things, you know, working on engines or, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And so we had to kind of shift that. And that, I, you know, that was something that at the time I didn't really realize was impacting me. But I think John picked up on that pretty quick because that was one of the elements that I couldn't control anymore. And that's what was kind of throwing things in turmoil is, you know, you don't want anything to be happening to your children. And that was out of control. And then I couldn't quite have the relationship that I wanted to have with Alex anymore. And just all this stuff was kind of coming to a head. And I think at the time, you know, I was like more worried about getting help for Alex. But Alex was actually had it together fairly well, despite everything that was going on at the time for you. But I was adding additional pressure to all that based on what I was not realizing was going on with me.
I think sometimes when we're feeling stuff, we tend to try and help people on the outside. And by doing that, we take away what we're feeling. We distract ourselves. And sometimes it takes somebody else to say, well, hey, what about you? You need some help too. You need someone to talk to. You need to find a way to relate to this and work through it. And in working through it yourself, you're actually going to be able to help somebody else better.
Yeah, and on that same note, what is it, different personality traits or whatever it is? And I'm a pleaser, so that's yes, kind of part of the whole deal here as well. I always want to make sure everybody's feeling good and always go a little more than I should to make sure that everyone around me is happy. And so that was also part of Alex. I saw Alex hurting, so I wanted to make sure Alex was doing okay and pleasing Alex and
yeah,
but not taking care of myself and not paying attention and listening to what I needed.
Yeah. And so are you putting yourself higher up on the rung?
Yeah. The way I look at it today is in order to keep people around me healthy, I have to keep myself healthy. So I have to make sure that I'm in a good place. You know, I'm health-wise as well as how I'm feeling.
Yeah. Good boundaries.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can relate to the people-pleasing.
Still working on my boundaries. You know?
Well, we all are. Yeah, you know, and there are different levels that we go through, too, at different times in which we have a different awareness. And it, once you are in the place where you are noticing these subtle energies, then you can start shifting and going deeper into those different boundaries. And it gets a little bit easier, I found. Doesn't mean you're not going to bump up against them or go over the boundaries sometime. But a good way to remember it is to, if you're not sure where the boundary is to just sort it out with the person that you're experiencing that with. So you both can have a conversation about it, and then it's not this weird thing that you're not talking about, and then it turns into something that doesn't feel good.
Yeah, one of the tough things that John got me working on was actually talk about my feelings and to share my feelings, and that's something that a guy doesn't normally do. So that's been a new way of me talking to the, you know, Rosie and Alex and Aaron and Lizzie, you know, hey, this is how I feel about the way you just did that, you know. And
yeah.
So,
oh, I see.
So it's just normally you just keep that stuff to yourself, but by talking about it, it actually helps you move forward and release things rather than holding on to it.
Yeah, and a lot of times we make up stuff, you know, and it isn't always good. So, you know, sorting out somebody else's intention, you know, helps to understand where they're coming from.
But
yeah.
It also adds a lot of respect. You know, if you're honest with yourself, other people are honest with themselves, and you're honest together. And it adds that extra level of deepening to the relationship and respect for each other as humans.
Yeah, exactly. Excellent. Thank you. What are you looking forward to? Where are you going from here? Alex, you want to talk? first?
I guess I'm where I'm going from here is I'm, you know, just still kind of being an open book for people and kind of, you know, not really more, not, I guess a word that I can't, I guess where I'm going from now is kind of like staying open and kind of being that walking encyclopedia for people, you know, but to an extent.
Yeah.
Just kind of, you know, helping people along if they have questions and, you know, if they're genuine about it, I'll answer any question you ask me and kind of like that. I'm moving forward with my transition.
What does that mean?
That means I am starting to pursue bottom surgery or vaginoplasty, which is where you go through a surgery to turn your penis into a vagina to kind of help get rid of and feel more comfortable in your body and stuff like that. And it's something that I've been contemplating for, you know, since day one. And, you know, just recently it's been in, you know, arm's reach and kind of feels weird that it's pretty close here. And at the end of this month, I'm going to get my final letter of recommendation from a therapist that kind of says, yeah, you're sound of mind and you want to do this. And then I submit to insurance and then I get on the waiting list, and it'll be probably about a year to a year and a half after I get on the waiting list.
Oh, there's a waiting list.
Yeah, because there are so
many. Where
are
you at? Where are you going for that? That'd be good for the listeners to know.
Mayo Clinic in Rochester, which is, from what I've heard, is really great for this area. You know, there's other places that you can go that are even better, but, you know, this is close by and, you know, not terribly expensive, even though this is, you know, it is a big operation and it is a little expensive, but, you know, you hope insurance helps and get all that.
Does insurance cover some of this?
With some insurances, it'll cover 100%. With ours, you know, I think we'll have to figure out what they do. It's kind of a case-by-case basis. But in my understanding, like Minnesota law, like any insurance company, like has to cover it, like at least a certain amount of the surgery. So that'll be a big help because, you know, it's a fairly invasive surgery and I'll be in the hospital for at least a week.
Okay.
Recovering, and it'll be up to 2-year recovery about until everything's healed and said and done. So, you know, I got the next 3 years is going to be a lot of healing and recovery.
Yeah.
So I'm super excited for that. I've been really nervous for a while, but now kind of have shifted towards wanting to do it and excited.
Yeah.
So that's something that I'm pursuing. And then also, you know, in the background, there's school and finishing that up. I have about one more year left. So then that'll be fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So you're doing that at the kind of the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Trying to do both. Yeah.
And then,
yeah. Anything else you would like to share about, that's a lot of learning then that you're going to be doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a lot of shifting. What do you think will be the biggest change outside of?
What do you mean by biggest change? In what area?
Like once you have the surgery, what do you think right now is going to be the biggest change for you?
I guess for me, I'll be a lot more confident with my body, and I won't. In my head, I have the feeling that like it'll kind of feel correct, and you know, I'll be more comfortable with my body, and you know, I won't have this annoying thing in between my legs that, you know, doesn't really feel correct.
Yeah. Because it's not part of who you are.
Yeah. And then having that kind of having the inside match the outside and, you know.
Yeah.
You know, dealing with that and, you know. Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for saying that. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it.
You have a funny way of phrasing things sometimes.
Yeah. I think it's great. It's unique to Alex.
I'd rather be straightforward with it than beat around the bush.
Yeah. What's that experience like for you two? I mean, looking at Rosie and Alan as she's explaining this. This isn't the first time.
Right. Alex has taken, you know, the lead, and, you know, I haven't even had to talk to the insurance. Alex is doing that. She's invited us to her doctor appointments, at Mayo, and so we've gone to a couple of those. It's been really informative. So we'll be just supportive. You know, there's certain things she has to get done, like she said, with the letter and figuring out the rest of the insurance, but yeah. we'll be there when it happens.
Okay.
It'd be a lot of home care afterwards.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's quite amazing what they can do these days with surgery.
Yeah. We can thank all the pioneers ahead of you.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Who have not had such an easy job.
True.
Mm-hmm. And we're working with a lot of people that are transgender. The surgery and how it looks afterwards is incredibly realistic. And I'll be with you all the way, Alex, because I know what you'll be going through, having supported a lot in the UK.
And Alan, what about you? What are you looking forward to, and what are some learnings you're taking on coming up?
Yeah, well, I guess I'm looking forward to kind of our next phase of everything, where we've been writing our family story. So we're, you know, the goal is to get that wrapped up so we can get that out there for people and they can learn from that. It's from each of all of our different perspectives, and plus books and learnings from John. We're trying to incorporate that at the end of each chapter, because we kind of break it down into the different phases and what people may be going through. And so just trying to putting some information in there to help people learn, and to, you know, if they're going through a similar thing, to be able to help them.
Yeah.
So we're looking at that. And then other types of programs, you know, we have a brand design company. So we're looking at how can we help individuals going through this transition to not brand themselves on their physicalities, but from the heart out, so that they're like Alex is talking, being authentic to who they truly are. And so helping them build their personal brand from the heart and their core values, and be able to live life, you know.
Yeah, so the conversations are less about the transition and more about where you're at right now.
Who they are as a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's what really matters.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, Rosie?
I think we talked.
You feel like you've covered everything?
Yes. I'm very hopeful, and I'm actually looking forward to following Alex's journey and being supportive.
Great. The audience might want to know, like, how has John worked with you? And we have described in previous podcast conversations that I remember the initial conversation that you had when you were all on Skype. Mm-hmm. Ellen, you want to use your words to describe that?
Oh, yeah. John spent a little moment with each one of us, kind of asking us questions and kind of getting to know us a little bit. And then we all came back to the table, and I think it was like, Aaron, you're fine, but I'm here if you need me. And Alex and Lizzie, you're good too. If you need me, I'm here. Rosie, I'll need to talk to you somewhere down the road. But Alan, I want to talk to you. So,
yeah. They've commented on how they appreciate your directness.
Yeah. And I think, you know, correct me if I'm wrong, Alan, but, you know, maybe that was scary, but he did it. You know, he took that advice, and it was offered to you, and you took it. So
what is it that you admire about Alan?
Well, I do admire that, you know, he looks out for all of us, and I mean, I'm a pleaser too. So we want our family to be to stay together, to be together, and continue to grow. And I think that's what he's making happen too, with his openness and support.
And what have you appreciated about Alex?
Alex, I really appreciate her openness. I've said it before in different podcasts. You know, she went really slow with me through this transition, through telling me about it. But for me, that worked. That I'm at such a good place right now, and that's why I think I'm looking forward to the next steps that she's going to take.
Sure. And what do you admire about Aaron? Because we don't want to leave them out.
We don't.
Yes.
Well, Aaron, that she's so, you know, she's young, and But she's also willing to talk about if something, she doesn't understand something. I think we have a pretty open relationship with her, which is nice.
She's like very wise beyond her years.
Yes, she's
yeah.
very wise beyond her years.
She's clued in.
Right. Yes. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm. To what's important. Yeah.
Right.
And how about Lizzie?
And Lizzie is, you know, she's older and it's been fun to see, you know, I'm still her mom, but it's been fun to have a different relationship with that as she grows older. And I'm looking forward to that as Alex grows older too. And just having them all get, you know, having us all get together once in a while too is nice. As
yeah.
we all go off on our own.
Yeah, I think that's, you can pull the family together with different traditions that
yes,
you guys create,
true.
You know, of based on where they're at now. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Alan, how about you? What do you appreciate about Rosie?
She's still there. Through
okay.
all my ups and downs, she's still hanging around with me.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I admire that. You know, she's been allowing me to figure stuff out. So that's very appreciative. And same way with the rest of the family.
Yeah.
You know, you got all the stresses with the business and, you know, sometimes your emotions get a little out of hand. And if you don't know how to...
Whose emotions?
Mine. My emotions get out of hand. So, but working with John, I understand a lot of that now and... I'm a different person. Than
yeah. Could you have arrived at where you're at without a therapist's help?
No, I don't think so. John has a unique way of, you know, really, really taking a look at you. You know, we work through Skype, so you're kind of like, well, how does that work with a therapist through Skype? Well, it's more than just talking. I mean, John has some unique gifts where he's able to kind of really... see your energy and kind of what's going on and sense, you know.
He's doing that right now.
Yeah.
He's very calm and taking us all in.
And he's able to really understand and connect with you, you know, spiritually at a deeper level so that he can work with you and help heal and remove barriers.
Do you feel like he gets you?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, you know, you just do. I don't have this degree of conversation with anyone else. We have very deep conversations, and it's, you know, it's even fun to take then what I've learned and what we talked about, and because Rosie's working with John and Alex too, we have some pretty amazing conversations.
Yeah,
around, you know, your inner self and. How to be truly who you are and live that way.
Yeah.
Even when we're having potential conflicts, we can step back and, you know, you can move forward from that and not get attached to it. And it doesn't linger as long as it used to back in the day. And, you know, for weeks, everyone's kind of tromping around, irritated. But now we have a quick conversation about it. And
yeah, you get more efficient with handling it because you're more familiar with what's going on with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you realize, oh, that there's a trigger there from something in the past that's causing this. And
yeah.
So then you can go take a look at that and try and remove it. And remove it. None of that trying stuff.
And delete.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm going to... As a group, as a family, you guys have all come together, and each has had to be courageous in different ways. And I think that it would be great for them to hear specifically by you saying what you appreciate about each one of them individually.
Sure. And like I said earlier about Alex, I appreciate that you for what you've brought to me. I've mentioned that you're kind of my gift and helped me. Really see things differently and become who I am. And then Aaron, you know, you got to really love what she brings to the table. She just has a very refreshing perspective. And if that's this next generation coming up, I'm pretty impressed to see what these kids are going to do. Lizzie, I got a lot of respect for her too. She's off living her own life. So she comes back in and there's this whirlwind going on, and she's able to kind of flow in and flow out and accept all the changes that happen when she's not around.
Yeah.
And she's right there with us in spirit and in heart and very accepting and just an amazing individual as well. You know, just I'm very proud of our kids and
it's a beautiful
thing. This nice family together.
Yeah. Right. Okay. And Alex, how about you? What are your gratitude list for your parents and your sisters?
I guess for, you know, from starting with my dad, you know, thanks for, you know, not pushing back. I know you were really excited to have, you know, a son, but I'm glad that you were able to accept who I wanted to be and, you know, go through that transition with me and kind of grow together. My mom, you know, she puts up, I tell her probably way too much. So I, you know, very thankful that she can put up with all of that. And that means a lot to have someone like that because I don't, you know, right now, you know, I don't really have many close friends.
So she shows you.
So she shows me that
empathy.
Kind of empathy. And, it's, you know, that's really nice having someone like that where I can sit down and be like, so this happened today, or, you know, I'm doing this, and having that, you know, dialect is really nice. Erin, you know, she's super cool. And I know when we were younger, you know.
She's your homie.
She's my homie. You know, I love her to bits. Yeah. I know when we were younger, we got into like a lot of fights and we very resented each other, but it's just nice to have, to see that we've kind of grown a lot closer. And then, you know, my day brightens up when I get to see her, you know, because I'm coming and going and she's in school and our hours are a lot. So it always makes me happy when I get a chance to see her. And then Lizzie, you know, thanks for your closet.
The beginning of it
that
all.
Sounds very terrible. And I feel bad that I stole her clothes, but at the same time, you know, it was a very sister thing to do.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I'm thankful that she, you know, is, you know, she's still, you know, she's accepted that that has happened and that, you know, she's accepted me as her middle sister.
Yeah.
And, you know, she treats me like that. And, you know, we've grown really close together. And over my transition, you know, I've noticed that with everybody is as I've come out to become myself, how I've interacted with each member of my family, we've kind of came closer and closer together and we can have better conversations and we can actually genuinely love spending time with each other. And
yeah.
That's what I'm kind of thankful for.
And what are you grateful for with John?
With John? Well, he's in this, you know, short, I don't know how it's what, a month or two, we've actually really been consistently, you know,
I think it's about 2 months that we've seen each other every single week, yeah.
You know, he's helped me, you know, the biggest thing is I was struggling a lot with self-harm, and he helped put an end to that, which was really cool and, you know, very nice because I'm not harming my body anymore.
You understand more of where that was coming from?
Where that was coming from and how to, you know, deal with it and how to work around it and work through it without, and, you know, deal with my problems without going straight, you know, to self-harm. And that was really big.
It's a huge skill to learn.
Yeah. And it was very nice to learn that through him. So I'm thankful that he's able to do that. And
you did a lot of work, Alex. That was you that did that. And I just encouraged you.
Well, the encouragement was very nice to have and I definitely needed. And I guess that is just, you know, it's nice having a therapist again that, you know, understands and can actually do something about it, which is and help me realize what's going on in the deeper meaning and what's causing.
Do you think do people transition on their own, or is everybody getting psychological help through the process?
Unfortunately, there's a lot of people throughout the world that don't get psychological help at all, that they don't get support from families. They're on their own. The Warners are an amazing family. The support they've shown each other, the support they've shown Alex is phenomenal. I don't see this level of support with most of the people that I have to step in and help. You're all very lucky.
Anything else you would like to say?
Well, you're stepping into a new phase with Alex changing and having the operation coming up. That's a change of psychological and physical integration. So it's like turning over into a different chapter altogether, because all of a sudden your body is going to align with who you are. So it's going to be a change for the family, because that is the end of the physical of Alex. So as you move forwards, keep an open mind and keep talking, keep feeling, and keep communicating those feelings.
Beautiful.
Wonderful way to end the series. Great. Anybody else want to say anything before we finish out? Well, I have grown through this process. Oh, all of a sudden I'm emotional. I just have appreciated the learning, and I really admire the courage, you know, and I can tell, Alan, how much psychological work that you've needed to do just from when I knew you when you were a client, you know, many years ago, and just our few interactions in between the years. I just feel like you're blossoming into this a really wonderful soul. Yeah. Well, not an easy journey. Yeah, and I'm really glad that you were tremendously courageous, because a lot of women will make the transition, right? But men really get stuck, and because it's so far out of how they grew up as a man. And so I just really admire all the work that it took internally to grasp with all of and changing how you're connecting and doing things together, and what your view is of masculinity and femininity. Yeah. All right. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. And there have been so many gems. What I would like to encourage you to do this week, again, is to continue your own integration process by noticing where in your life are you finding yourself really rigid in your thinking about things and unwilling to even contemplate kind of a person's being in another person's shoes. We're in a time where there's a huge empathy gap, and people are creating a lot of, it's either chaos or rigidity, where we create a lot more drama to keep from integrating what's in, and doing the internal work. And so I would like to really encourage everybody during this really transitional time in our country and around the world, that we keep focusing inward and doing your work to release some of the rigidity in your own thinking, and stop creating a lot of chaos outside of yourself, and go more inward. Learn the skills of mindfulness and meditation. So thanks for tuning in. Thanks, Alex, Alan, Rosemary, and Rosie.
It's okay.
And John, it's been a delight. And everyone, you can look forward to connecting or hearing more of John's journey in our next podcast conversation. Okay, so see you next week.